Friday, 1st of September, 1916, Dorsey charges plot to defeat him in race. The Atlanta Journal, Friday, 1st of September, 1916, page 4, column 2, declares slush fund has been raised and opponents have combined for Harris. Copies of a speech which Hugh M. Dorsey, candidate for governor, was scheduled to deliver Friday at Fitzgerald and Tifton, were given out to the newspapers Thursday from Mr. Dorsey's campaign headquarters in Atlanta. In the speech, Mr. Dorsey charges that there is a conspiracy on foot to defeat him because no other candidate has developed sufficient strength to do so, unless Mr. Dorsey charges that a slush fund has been raised for this purpose and that his opponents have united on Governor Harris as their choice. He declares that Governor Slayton of Georgia is behind the alleged plot and in response for the Atlanta Georgian support of Governor Harris. He says that the Atlanta Journal and the Macon Telegraph are also coming into line for Harris. In support of his charge, he quotes a letter opposing his candidacy from Governor Slayton to a Commerce citizen whose name he does not give. His speech. That part of his speech containing the conspiracy charge and the letter is as follows. Long before I became a candidate for governor, you were told by certain newspapers and other clamorous agents of interests you know too well that if I did announce my candidacy, it would be based upon the notorious Frank case. My published platform, every speech I have delivered, and every letter I have written in the course of the campaign has belied the warnings of these inspired prophets. I have established my candidacy upon a platform of earnest and exalted principles, and I have been advocating those principles with all the seriousness and sincerity I could command. The response I have met throughout the state tells me in no uncertain tones that these principles are as dear to you as they are to me. The result has been that the enemies of those principles, confounded by my failure to fulfill their prophecies, have taken the bull by the horns and by courting and conjuring with the subtle influences born of that case of flourishing in its shadows, have made of the Frank case an issue which, having rightfully no part in this campaign, can no longer be properly ignored as a factor therein. Beginning with a secret propaganda to combine against me the various persons and interests who sought to save the life of Leo M. Frank, even at the sacrifice of our courts and of the reputation of our state, they have become emboldened with the flight of time until, as the end of the campaign approaches, they have struck hands in solemn compact to present a solid front in support of a common cause. With the evidence of this conspiracy surrounding us on all sides, I propose to vary the policy I have so far pursued. I propose today to take the cover off the situation and to give you a view of the concentrated work, to let you see for yourselves the woof and warp of the fabric they are weaving for you to wear. No man in Georgia, nor in the United States, need be reminded. John M. Slayton was the governor who overturned the processes of law 2 years ago when he reversed the verdict of a jury of 12 men, the judgment of every court of competent jurisdiction, state and federal, to commute the death sentence of a convicted murderer found over the protest of the people through their elected Solicitor General and Pardon Board. No citizen of Georgia need be reminded of his open resentment when I charge that he was morally disqualified to commute the defendant in that case. Well, Governor Slayton has entered the lists to get me for those misguided Georgians who criticized his course. I have read you a letter that breathes the spirit which scorched and seethed in his soul until it was bound to burst forth by the sheer force of his resentment. This letter was written by Governor Slayton 3 months ago in reply to an innocent inquiry from a citizen of Georgia concerning the probability of my nomination for the governorship. It was promptly forwarded to me by his indignant correspondent. It was filed by me as an uncomplimentary but harmless incident of the campaign until recent developments made it wise to give you all the details. Made the letter a link in the chain of evidence necessary to fasten a conspiracy upon the authors of the plot. Then, at my request, the recipient of the letter gave me permission to use it as I saw fit, with the sole condition that his name should not be drawn into the matter unless necessary. I read to you in full the contents of this remarkable document. Rosser, Slayton, Phillips and Hopkins, attorneys at law, Luther Z. Rosser, John M. Slayton, Ben Z. Phillips, Sam H. Hopkins, T. B. Felder, Chaz, T. Reagan, J. J. Slayton, Atlanta, Georgia, May 26, 1916. Dear Doctor, I do not think Dorsey is going to develop much strength in the state. I think this from the newspaper comments and from the fact that I know Dorsey well and that he lacks every qualification that a governor should possess. He obtained an unfair advantage of the Louisville and Nashville Railroad while Solicitor General and is, therefore, under the law, ineligible. The General is subject to be called by the governor in certain cases, State in Chief in Charge Service. In addition to it, even if you waive the disqualification regarding the Louisville and Nashville Railroad as governor, with the power to dictate the terms of a contract between the state and the Louisville and Nashville Railroad regarding $1,500,000 worth of state bonds. Dorsey has no legislative experience and his record as to his salary is $3,000 for the poor widow in the Isaac case, in conflict with the canons of the law that I know of that deserves commendation. Prejudiced against Dorsey. I am entirely satisfied that he was prejudiced against Dorsey on account of the indictment of Frank's sentence. Dorsey had it in his power to delay this case before Governor Slayton for commutation 1 week in moving the court to declare an appeal. Usually, the solicitor is moving to have a man sentenced to death after the judgment of all the courts has been rendered, but in this case Dorsey moved the next day, with the intent of forcing the case before the governor, and endeavored to force the sentence of Frank before the commutation was filed and was overruled by the court, and the court allowed the usual rule of 30 days between the filing of the motion and the disposition of the mandate. The case would have gone over, but Slayton in the meantime acted. No governor of Georgia could elect such a qualification after he had forced the man. In the Frank case, the defendant was represented by Rosser, who was a solicitor general of the superior court in the county where Frank was convicted, was Arnold. You know that he could grant Rule Arnold. You know that Rosser and Arnold are members of the same firm. You can discount this letter by reason of any statement regarding me, but I frankly say I can free myself from prejudice. I am firmly convinced that Dorsey has practiced as a lawyer. I believe that any man can be elected governor if I had known it suffices written as an act of bigotry. With kindest regards, I am, yours very truly, John M. Slayton. Signed,